The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Nerds! So weird, I'm sitting around at work after the first take. I have my suit and tie on, so I loosen the tie. I usually do the radio show in a tie. Today I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring a sweatshirt into the Seaport, some sweats, you know, just like be comfortable. And everywhere I go, everyone's like, oh, look at casual Max. I haven't seen you casual. And it bugs me out because the only time I ever wear a suit is at work. Otherwise, and the pandemic has meant no one even wears jeans anymore. It's just sweats. And I'm never going back. It's the most comfortable thing in the world. Everyone's in pajamas now. It's the greatest. What took society so long to get here? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who you'd want taking the last shot, LeBron or KD? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. LeBron, by the way, is not on Dr. J's first two all-time lists. Right? He's not first team or second team. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here's Magic Johnson on The Tonight Show talking about who he would have taking the last shot. Now, between KD and LeBron. Now. Now it's now. Now. KD shoots way better than LeBron, right? I mean, he's a pure shooter. KD's a legit pure shooter from anywhere. LeBron is not. But LeBron has turned himself into a guy who can shoot, but not a pure shooter. So who would you like Magic Johnson, who was the running things when LeBron signed in L.A., taking the last shot between KD and LeBron?
You're down by two with 2 seconds left in the game. Who do you want taking the last shot, LeBron or KD?
Oh, man.
This is going to rock the sports world. This is going to rock the sports world. Oh, my
yikes. Oh, man. Now, you know KD is a scorer and, you know, one of the greatest we've ever seen at that position. But I got to ride the winner, too. I got to ride LeBron because he got more championships than KD.
He's not wrong, everybody. He's not wrong. Here's the thing. By the way, there's like a meme or a gif or a something going around about me. I know. I'm aware. Like, give me Iguodala. I want Iguodala, right? Because I said on First Take months ago that fate of the universe on the line, the Martians got the death beam pointed at Earth, or fate of Earth on the line, right? Who would I want taking the last shot if they had an open look? I know Steph can go get his shot in a way that Iguodala can never, and Steph's a million times better shooter than Iguodala. And I say, give me Iguodala, right?
I want Iguodala.
There it is. I want Iguodala. And the reason I said that is because with all the chips on the line, it's not necessarily the best shooter you want. It's the dude you trust the most under pressure. I once saw a boxing trainer say the reason Holyfield would always beat Mike Tyson, if the two fought, is that he went like this. He kissed both his biceps. He went, mwah, mwah. Evander Holyfield loves himself, and Tyson hates himself. I think Tyson's grown a lot since then, actually. But at the time, he wasn't wrong. There's something about feeling like you deserve it in the moment of truth. Iguodala, with the chips on the line, is excellent. Just watch him at the end of games. He hits big shots. Steph Curry has developed into that. But for a long time in his career, in the finals, he was missing those kind of shots, especially late in games. So KD is a better shooter than LeBron, a better scorer than LeBron. But and LeBron, like, who do I want taking the last shot in the game? Larry Bird or LeBron? Michael Jordan or LeBron? Bird just shoots better and has that same kind of energy, like, I'm the man. And Jordan is Jordan. Of course, I want those guys. But LeBron? You could do a lot worse than having LeBron shoot at the end of the game. I agree with Magic. It's not always about, well, this is the best shooter, and he's likely to hit it in an open with an open look 43% of the time, whereas this other guy's only likely to hit it 37% of the time. Those percentages are close enough in reality that you don't have to look at just who usually hits the shot. You have to look at the circumstance and who you trust more. Magic Johnson couldn't shoot. Never could. But by the second half of his career, late in games in the playoffs, oh, I like Magic Johnson shooting all day from the outside too. So Magic is right about that. 888-SAY-ESPN. And just to show you that I mean business about these phone calls today, because every day I say, that I'm going to take your calls. But much like the Greek myth about Narcissus, I fell in love with my own reflection. I fell in love with my, every day I fall in love with my own mellifluous voice. And even though I want to talk to you, apparently I don't want to hear from you as much as I want to hear from me. And so I never take the calls. I don't take enough of them. However, just to show you why I mean business, and with this long lead-in, I got to hear myself a little more, I guess. Big Rob in Inglewood. You're on the Max Kellerman Show,
what's
ESPN
up,
Radio. Go ahead, Big Rob.
Inglewood always up to no good.
You're still up to, that's what I wanted to know, Big Rob. Is Inglewood, is it still up to no good, or is it up to good sometimes now?
Always up to no good.
Okay,
baby.
That's very good.
Woo-woo!
Okay.
Hey, check this, man.
Yeah.
Give me Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Dame. My point is, I don't never want LeBron James taking the last shot, baby, because he don't even want to take the last shot.
Well, that's a good point, too.
Passing the ball off.
No, I don't say, I don't think it's not, I don't think it's not wanting to take the shot. He don't want to go to the free throw line, but I get that. But I want to point something out. You said Steph Curry just then, right? All right, let's think about this. Game 7. Defending the best record of all time, 73 regular season wins. If they want to have the real best record of all time, they got to win the championship because the 72-win Bulls got those four games in the finals too, right? And Steph Curry was not going to win finals MVP. If someone on his team was going to win, it was going to be Draymond Green. But LeBron James got fouled and to ice the game, hit one of two free throws with a like kind of a jacked up wrist because he landed hard. LeBron hit him. You know what Steph Curry did in the last 4 minutes and 22 seconds of that game? Didn't score a single point. I don't know. So you can say what you want about LeBron not wanting to shoot. I'd rather have him shooting under pressure than a lot of dudes.
I want Iguodala.
By the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So that's Magic Johnson talking about he'd take LeBron over KD with the game on the line. Dr. J, not to be outdone, in terms of the all-time greats from the 80s with the best nicknames, Magic versus the Doctor, Dr. J said he leaves LeBron off his all-time teams. His first team is Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and Elgin Baylor. In other words, the guys he grew up watching, you know? And his second team is Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know what's crazy about the second team? And maybe this is just my bias because I grew up in this era more. The All-NBA, his All-NBA second team, Dr. J, with the exception of Karl Malone, you could argue is the all-time team. Magic and Bird, Michael and Kareem. You could really make the argument. Just put like LeBron at power forward or move him to small forward, put Larry Bird at power forward, and that is the all-time team. But maybe that just speaks to my bias growing up with those guys as opposed to Dr. J, who thinks that Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, and Elgin Baylor, those are his guys. Anyway, as for the snub, Dr. J explained that LeBron James has led the charge in terms of super teams, so he kind of counts that against him. Let me just say this. It got me to thinking, who's on my all-time team? Because the all-time team has changed recently, let's be honest. Because of the way the game has changed with outside shooting, you can't just put, well, if you have LeBron and Michael and Magic and a center, am I going to have enough shooting on the team? Probably not, right? So now you're looking for shooting. I figured out a way around it. Ready for this? Here's the all-time team. I'm trying to win now. Not just the greatest at the position. I'm trying to win. The point guard is LeBron James. Best point guard in basketball right now. Not Magic Johnson. Magic doesn't make the team because LeBron is the point guard now. The two guard is Michael Jordan, of course. At the three, I'm going to have, at the three, Kevin Durant. Because he can play with anyone, defend all five positions, is 7 feet tall, can shoot from anywhere. Now, he's not as great as some of these other players, but he's better. He didn't dominate in his era any more than some guys, or maybe even less than some guys dominated in theirs. But his game translates to the modern game, right? So KD's at the three. I am going to move Larry Bird over to the four. He played power forward some seasons. And now at the five, I'll take Hakeem or Tim Duncan because they can also play the modern game. See what I'm saying? You see what I just did, Raj? I did the all-time team. And I got enough shooting on it. See what I did? So here's the question for the callers. Can you defend Dr. J's teams? And who's taking the last shot between LeBron and KD if it's your team? The last shot. I'm not asking who's the better shooter. We all know who the better shooter is. It's KD, and it's not close. I'm saying who's taking the last shot. That's different.
I want Iguodala.
Well, I'll tell you what. With the game on the line, not anymore, because I saw Steph, since I said that, I saw Steph, so I guess it was more than like 6 months ago, maybe a year or two ago. I saw Steph hit big shots against Kawhi in Toronto, shorthanded. Steph didn't have a crew with him, and he won a game against Kawhi when Kawhi was cooking late. Steph did. That's the first time I've ever seen Steph do that in the finals. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So here is my mocked draft. The Max Kellerman mocked, not mock draft, mocked draft.
Woo!
No, but that's
not even. It's mocked, but you also, since we're not going to do all 32 teams, people.
No, we're only gonna I'm not going 12, to 32 so teams you out of your mind.
The Dirty Dozen. Come on, Max, hit me with me, man. Come on now. Jags are on the clock. Who we got?
Jags are actually going to shock everyone. No, they're going to take Trevor Lawrence. We know that. And okay. The Jets are going to take Zach Wilson. Let's get that out of the way.
Now,
everyone knows that's going to happen.
The draft starts at number three.
Right. The draft starts at number three. The 49ers with the third pick are going to take Mac Jones. Because even if they're saying now, Justin Fields, and they thought they were going to take Mac Jones, now they don't know. Some of that may be PR because there's some backlash against the Mac Jones move. And some of it has been questioned along racial lines. Not that they have any motive or have any biases that they're aware of. Just that people like me and others have noticed the trend that black quarterbacks tend to fall pre-draft and white quarterbacks tend to rise. Again, that doesn't mean all the time in every case. It means vis-a-vis each other. That tends to be the case. And in fact, you see the type of this draft. White guy. If you look at the top of the drafts recently in terms of the quarterbacks that have panned out, it's not that way. But in terms of, but I do think they really like Mac Jones. And by the way, Mac Jones may turn out to be a terrific quarterback. He's going to the Niners. Here's the first shakeup. Ready for this? You ready for this, Raj?
Oh yeah. What you got, man? What you got? I see the shake. I didn't notice it when you sent this.
A lot of people are expecting Atlanta to take the best available player, who'd be Kyle Pitts, tight end. I say the Bears trade up for this pick. I think
what?
The Bears, listen, they tried to get Russell Wilson. They're not going to have to give up as much as they would have had to give up to get Russell Wilson. But they're going to have to, you got to bring it to get it. The Bears trade up to 4 and take Justin Fields. Fields is the fourth, goes quarterback. The Bears are taking Justin Fields. They're going to make a move. That is based on absolutely no information, no one I've spoken to, no inside knowledge. Strictly me looking into my crystal ball.
And it would be the first time in your life that you've seen the Bears with an actual quarterback, a talented quarterback.
Or lift a finger to get one other than Trubisky, right? Okay. At 5, the Bengals. A lot of people think if Pitts is available there, you take the best available player. And it's quite possible, you know, Joe Burrow and Kyle Pitts, they got a lot of talent. I think given Joe Burrow's injury, given the necessity of protecting him, they will take the best available blindside protection, which appears to be Sewell, right? So I think they're going left tackle at 5. And part of the reason I think that is because I really want to see the Dolphins, who would be, I see on ESPN Plus, we're one behind. You're now showing Sewell. That dude is like a force field. Anyway, I want to see Pitts on the Dolphins. I want to see Tua with Pitts. I think Stephen A. made this point a couple weeks ago. I'm with him on it. That's exactly what Tua needs as a second-year quarterback for us to see, really, wait, is this dude the future? Is he the truth? Or did they miss on their franchise quarterback? Pitts will expedite that process. We'll find out. And the difference between a mismatched tight end and a wide out for a young quarterback who's not really getting you a lot of chunk plays, Pitts really would help Tua out that way. He's a safety net. All right, so I say Kyle Pitts to the Dolphins at 6. Now, you ready for this? The Lions are taking 7th, right? A lot of people have Jamar Chase. They have Waddle going before Devontae Smith. I don't think so. I think the Lions go Devontae Smith. We had Devontae Smith on First Take today. And don't forget, he had the greatest championship game in the history of college football for any wideout, right? And after the championship game, I was like, okay, he's going first. But then when it turns out he doesn't have the kind of explosive speed of like the top end, the like you know, of Waddle, his teammate, nor does he have the size and weight of like a you know, a big 50-50 ball type receiver, that other receivers are going to go first. Do you know what he said when I said, what's your greatest attribute? He said, basically, you know, he studies. He wants to know everything. And he compared himself to Keenan Allen. I compared him to Marvin Harrison. He compared himself to Keenan Allen. Like, if you are a coach and your GM's on the clock and Devontae Smith's available and you've heard that and you need a receiver, he's going to be hard to pick up. Or, sorry, to pass up. Freudian slip. I think Devontae Smith's going to the Lions. And then the Panthers, who could also use a wideout, will take Ja'Marr Chase at 8. At 9, the Broncos. Now, there's one quarterback left in this draft among the elite of the elite quarterbacks, right? The Broncos may like Drew Lock more than people are realizing. But Trey Lance does not appear to be a guy who's going to start in his first season, and yet he appears to be a guy with an enormous upside. I think the Broncos try to finally get it right and take Trey Lance with the 9th pick. The next pick I was really hoping, I tried to rack my brains to figure out a reason why the Cowboys wouldn't take Surtain, but I couldn't. So
ain't one.
So Surtain is going to the Cowboys. I really wanted him to fall to the Giants.
He's now, Max, is this the first defensive player? I mean, I've never. This is the
first defensive player. So far, I have.
I've seen.
Yeah, so far I have quarterback, left tackle, tight end, wide out, quarterback, first defensive player, Surtain at 10 to the Cowboys, corner. But cornerback is really a defensive player that speaks to the offense, right? You got to cover the wide out. It's so much about the quarterback now. It's even moved away from offensive tackles. It's now, in terms of like positions that seem to be sought after, quarterback one, followed by wideouts and cornerbacks, and then tackles. Okay. At 11, my New York football Giants. I really wanted them to have a sexy pick. And a lot of people are thinking Jalen Waddle will go to the Giants. I actually think that it's going to be impossible to pass on Parsons, who seems to be, if it's not Surtain who's the best defensive player in the draft, maybe it's Parsons. And given the history of New York linebackers, you know, it'll be an exciting pick for the New York football Giants. I really wish I could give my Giants one of the players who instantly gives you more kind of gratification, right? But the Giants could use a guy who can do everything on defense, including get to the quarterback. And even though you think like of an edge rusher as a defensive end, I think this is the best available guy. I think the Giants are going to take him at 11. And finally, to close out the dirty dozen of my mocked draft, I think the Eagles are going to take Jalen Waddle. By the way, if the Giants take Waddle, I'll be psyched. But because Waddle could easily wind up being the best receiver in the draft. He has that kind of Tyreek Hill suddenness. Customato used to talk about the difference between being fast and being sudden. You know, those next level fast twitchy guys are both fast and sudden. And that is Jalen Waddle. Okay, so there you have it. That's the top 12. I have two defensive players, Raj, out of the first 12. A corner and a linebacker. Yeah, going 9.
Max, you're
going not, no, going 10 and 11. Yeah.
And you know, I love this mock draft stuff. I read everyone's and I look at them all. I've never seen such an offensive draft in the top 10.
Yeah.
Like last year with so many defensive guys, it was like the opposite, but this is where the league is.
And part of it is who just has the most eye popping talent. Like you have a lot of quarterback needy teams, so that takes up 4 to 5 slots immediately, right? And then you had a lot of good receivers in this draft. A lot of good receivers. Okay. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chris in Illinois, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Big fan. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
And we're talking about the Kevin Durant, LeBron James taking
the
last shot. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't recall Kevin Durant hitting a game winner in the postseason.
You see, that's the thing. I don't think Durant would have a special kind of problem with it, but I need to see KD do it when the odds aren't stacked overwhelmingly in his favor, because I saw him on OKC as a younger player in a Game 7, same Game 7 I was just talking about, that LeBron's Cleveland Cavs got past Golden State. Kevin Durant's OKC Thunder with him and Westbrook and Ibaka and Steven Adams, they were loaded. A lot of people thought they were actually, by the time the playoffs rolled around, they were the best team in basketball, including the Cavs and the Warriors. But KD and Westbrook showed up small in that fourth quarter in Game 7. So I hear what you're saying. Then KD joined a 73-win team the year before, and they couldn't lose. So, and I'm not saying this is KD, but it is fair to question. Everyone's been in this situation. Some people have heart when the odds are stacked in their favor. Who has heart when they're not? Meaning who remains confident with their chest out when the odds aren't in their favor? Who rises to the challenge? It is fair to say you haven't seen KD do that at the ultimate level yet, because he hasn't. And even this Brooklyn team is so stacked, it's ridiculous, right? But at least this time he didn't join a 73-win team. He created one. That seems to be one level better than joining a 73-win team. This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. This Super Bowl contender, are they really thinking about, is there a Super Bowl contender thinking about a quarterback change? It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot more, or a whole lot, when you can pay half? Or the Bernie Mac thing from Bad Santa? Half. 20%. Half. 30%. Half. You can pay half. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Who do you want taking the last shot, LeBron or KD? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. The 49ers remain mum. Mum is the word. When was the last time someone said that? On which quarterback they'll take with the number 3 overall pick. Quote, do we know exactly who we want? Maybe. Probably. But maybe not. I don't feel like we need to say that, Coach Kyle Shanahan said when asked whether starter Jimmy Garoppolo would still be on the roster the day after the draft ends. This is what Coach had to say.
We made a decision this process that we felt we needed to get a starting quarterback this year and add that to our team. There were 5 guys that we thought we felt that we'd be okay with taking. You know, we knew that there was 3 at the time exactly. That's why we thought 3 was a good spot to go to. After going through this whole process, I feel good about 5 guys at 3. Yeah, we had a guy probably at first back then, but we knew that wasn't set in stone.
Can you say with certainty that Jimmy Garoppolo will be on the roster on Sunday?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
I agree with Coach, but here's the thing that's crazy to me, okay? Starting quarterback as a rookie doesn't have any chance to win the Super Bowl. 49ers, to me, look like a Super Bowl team. They have a quarterback. And the last time everyone was healthy, including Jimmy Garoppolo, in fact, they came one pass away to Emmanuel Sanders from beating Patrick Mahomes for the Super Bowl. Now think about that. Jimmy Garoppolo is good enough that he's 24-8, including the playoffs in his career, for a team that almost loses every game without him. Even last year, he was 21-5 heading into last year. 21-5, won more than 4 times as much as he lost. Now he's down to a 3-1 ratio. Still great, right? But it's only that because he was only 3-3. But the team was 3-7 without him. So people who think Jimmy Garoppolo is just a tick above replacement, then explain to me why his team almost never loses when he plays and they almost never win when he doesn't. It suggests he's way above replacement. And remember, this is Kyle Shanahan coaching all the same quarterbacks, right? He's coaching the guy who's filling in for Garoppolo, and he likes him enough to put him on the roster. So when Coach says a starting quarterback, does he mean this year? I would think what he's referring to, like, what's the best case scenario for a rookie quarterback? Because it's not the Super Bowl, not winning. The best case is he starts, let's take the perfect example, the best in the business, Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback I've ever seen. Already won a Super Bowl, already been to 2, came one play away from going to 3. Patrick Mahomes started one game his rookie year behind a good veteran quarterback in Alex Smith for a playoff team, right? Did they make the playoffs that year? The point is, Alex Smith wasn't good enough to win a Super Bowl, but he was good enough to be competitive. Patrick Mahomes makes one start. The next year, Patrick Mahomes has the best first year as a starter, maybe ever. 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, the MVP, and a pre-snap penalty away from going to the Super Bowl, which I believe he would have won against the Rams. Okay? So that's the best case scenario. I don't think Justin Fields, Mac Jones, or Trey Lance have the chance to be Patrick Mahomes because that would be the best ever, right? I don't think any of them are going to be the best ever. So what is Coach really saying? You want that guy to start this year? Well, you think you're going to win a Super Bowl with that guy? Because it seems to me you can with Jimmy G. One pass away. Next time, even if Jimmy G is only good enough to make that a 50-50 ball, so he lost one, maybe he wins the next. So what's Coach really saying? Maybe what he's saying, maybe what the Niners are saying, is that the outside evaluation of the Niners, people from outside the Niners, we think more of that team's chances than the team itself, than the GM and the coach. Maybe the Niners front office and coaching staff looks at this team and says, we're not quite as close to a return to the Super Bowl as most think we are. And therefore, we might as well start developing a quarterback now. We see on ESPN Plus his NFL ranking QBR at 17th in his career with the Niners, yards per attempt 2nd, completion percentage 5th, TD to interception 24th. Meantime, quarterback record. Well, quarterback record doesn't matter. Then the good thing about Garoppolo is he's been hurt enough where you can see what his replacement does. His replacement almost never wins. Not a single guy. Like, if they win 3 games in a season, that's like what you'd expect. In 2020, in November, high ankle sprain. In 18, he had the torn ACL. But the point is, he almost never loses. He's not just a little bit better than replacement. He's not elite, but maybe he's the next thing to it in little ways that are harder to quantify than quarterbacks who put up better numbers or who look more impressive to the naked eye. He makes quick reads. He gets rid of the ball quickly. And maybe he's smarter than a lot of other quarterbacks. He make off-platform throws. I just think the Niners may have a lower opinion of their team than outsiders do. And that's why they want to make this move. By the way, the smartest thing for me, you keep Jimmy G. You let him start. If he gets hurt, then you speed up the development of your rookie. If he doesn't get hurt, then the rookie learns under Jimmy G and takes over next year. Paul in Studio City, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, as far as the final shot, between KD and LeBron, it's easy to just choose LeBron. And the main reason is because it actually goes into the greatest of all time conversations. When you're talking about the best clutch shooters the game's ever seen, the answers in order are Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James. So if I'm in a game where I've got all the best playing and I got to have one guy make that shot, you need the guy with the killer instinct. And there's two guys that are never scared of greatness and have proven it more than any other players in basketball history, and that's Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
Well, I hear you there. I hear you there, but what does that have to do with LeBron? What does MJ and Kobe have to do with LeBron? Right? LeBron's got 3 chips. KD's got 2. Sorry, LeBron's got 4. KD's got 2. LeBron's been on more great teams than KD, but that's partly because of LeBron. Like, if KD were a little better under pressure, he'd have beaten Golden State. That Golden State. I had to sneeze. I had to hit the mute button. He'd have beaten Golden State, but he didn't, and LeBron did. And LeBron partly did because down the stretch in that game, LeBron played like an MVP, and KD didn't in that Game 7 against Golden State. Talking about 2016, conference finals, KD against Golden State, finals, LeBron against Golden State. Guests join this show on the Goodyear Hotline. Have I mentioned that? Some of the top names on Todd McShay's top-graded prospects is why this draft is going to be wild, says Raj in some language. Raj just wrote, for me to tease, the following. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, followed by...
They do.
Some of the top names on McShay's top-graded prospects is why... On prospects, on McShay's top-graded prospects, is why this draft is going to be wild. Find out next.
Ooh, couldn't say it any better, Max. Boy, you all right.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Settle in with host Nate Burleson and guests Justin Fields, Najee Harris, and Ja'Marr Chase in the new Progressive YouTube series, Up All Night. We're replacing fluff questions with fluffy pillows to get to what's real. Watch every episode of Up All Night exclusively on youtube.com/progressive.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Want The Rock and KD's hand or LeBron's at the end of the game? By the way, Magic was talking about shooting the last shot, but what about just ball in the hands at the end of the game? Remember, Michael Jordan would not only kill you in the clutch shooting, but if Paxson, if someone else was open, he'd get them the ball. So there's two different questions. Whose hands do you want the ball in at the end of the game? And who do you want shooting? My answer is I'll take LeBron and both. I know I'm the guy who said I want Iguodala over Steph with the game on the line, and back then I meant it. I don't mean go find your own shot, Iguodala, because he can't do that the way Steph can. I mean, you got an open look at the basket. Iguodala has ice water in his veins. Steph, I saw choke too many times in the finals.
So I want Iguodala.
That's right. No shame in my game. I don't have to say something just because everyone else says that everyone else is wrong. I got to be wrong, too. Baseball's back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball. By the way, just because a player has a history of choking doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. As I said, Steph, who choked, there's no other way to say it, he choked many, many times deep in the playoffs. Shooting. He was a lesser player than he normally was. Not against Toronto, not last time we saw him in the finals. Steph was deadly clutch last time. Some guys just need enough repetitions under that pressure to acclimate. You know, I don't think it's just an issue of odds. Like, well, you know, given a sample size, nope. I don't believe that. Not in basketball. I don't think it's probabilistic like that. I think it's deterministic. Not in basketball. Steph, I think, has shaken off the jitters. Has KD? Who'd rather have taken that shot, LeBron or KD? Todd McShay ranks the top 350 prospects in the 2021 draft class. Trevor Lawrence, one. This is just overall football players, right? Not draft value, just how good they are. Trevor Lawrence, one. Kyle Pitts, two. Ja'Marr Chase, three. Boy, Ja'Marr Chase has really come up in the world. And Devontae Smith. Remember what we were all thinking about Devontae Smith after the championship game? Like, oh, he's going to be the number one wideout taken. Zach Wilson, four. I think I agree with this list so far. I might put Zach Wilson, three. Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon, five. Devontae Smith, six. Jalen Waddle, seven. Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle, eight. And maybe that's who the Giants wind up taking. The Giants, they still haven't fixed the line. Trey Lance, 9. Patrick Surtain, 10. And interestingly, most people take, like, Patrick Surtain. Let me see. Go back up, Raj, for a second. Like, this is McShay's list of best football players, right? And yet, how many guys are ranked as football players by McShay where they're likely to actually get taken? You know what I mean? Trevor Lawrence, 1 overall. He's likely to go 1 overall. Kyle Pitts, 2 overall. Not likely to go 2 overall, etc. The only other guy who seems to me to be Sewell is 5, and a lot of people have him 5, like, to the Bengals. Surtain, on a lot of mocks, is 10, going to the Cowboys, and sure enough, he's ranked 10th here. Justin Fields, the 11th best player. Jeremiah Owusu Koromoa, I forget how to pronounce his name, the linebacker from Notre Dame. Vera Tucker, the guard from USC. Horn, J.C. Horn, the corner from South Carolina, generally considered the second best corner in the draft, and Mac Jones at 15, who's likely to go third, it seems. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max, how you doing?
Go ahead, Mitch.
Good show. First of all, if the 49ers, they'd be crazy to pass on Justin Fields. If they take Mac Jones, they better draft another quarterback late in the later rounds, like Cousins and RG3. I'm thinking either Kellen Mond or the kid from Wake Forest, Jamie Newman. And do you think the Chargers be smart to go get Javonte Williams, North Carolina running back? Eckler gets hurt a little too much for my.
Yeah, they've been fine with the running backs though, but I don't think they need to take one in the first round. And I think you can get a perfectly good back in the second or third round, or even later maybe. So I don't think they need to take a running back that high. San Diego. The Chargers are going to be a problem throughout Justin Herbert's career. Justin Herbert is some kind of talent. Josh in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go, Josh.
Hey, Max, how are we? First time, long time.
Mm-hmm. Josh, go. All right, Josh, you know what? You got to first time might be your last time, Josh. You know, if you're long time, then you know you got to get to it. Is Josh still there? Should I give him another chance, Roger? Do
no,
I have
Max,
to?
Max, no. I apologize, Max.
All right. Go ahead, Josh. Go
I'm
ahead.
Here. All right, listen, I got a big problem with Dr. J's all-time team, not for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting Jerry West on it in the first place is insanity.
Well, these are guys. Josh is going in and out. But listen, Dr. J's list. Raj, put Dr. J's list up in front of me again for a second, will you? What's pretty obvious to me is Dr. J's list. He has special reverence for the players who were a big deal when he was growing up. So he has Oscar Robertson, who back then was the greatest point guard of all time before Magic Johnson. Jerry West, who back then was the greatest two guard. Elgin Baylor back then was the greatest small forward. Right? Wilt Chamberlain and did he have Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain? So he took the greatest hit of all time from when he was a kid. And then on his all second team was the greatest of all time from when he was an adult. And as an older man, he doesn't have any of these new players. So it tells you something. Hear who Magic would pick to take the last shot. Coming up, Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.